Parsha Shmini describes the various details regarding the Mei Hameluim, and the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron HaKohen, Krav al HaMizbeach. And Rashi is bothered in the name of the Torah Skonim that why exactly is that necessary? The Pasuk continues and says, Vaseyes Chatoscha, V'yesol Osecha, it mentions the requisite karbanos, but why exactly is it necessary to say, Krav al HaMizbeach? So Rashi comments that apparently that Aaron HaKohen was somewhat hesitant in order to assume this role, that Shahaya Aaron Bosh V'yorei Lageshes, that Aaron HaKohen was somewhat fearful, right, of assuming the role of being the one who was Mechanech during the time of the Miluim. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu responds and says that L'chach Nivcharta, that recognize that this is why you were chosen. This is why you were chosen. And therefore, of course, you have to assume this particular role. One no doubt can understand the trepidation of Aaron HaKohen. We've been discussing at length the sugya of Shlichus. When you look in the Gemara Nedarim and Daf Lamed Hey, there the Gemara raises the issue that a Kohen really is an agent. No, this is a form of Shlichus, when a Kohen performs Avoda. And the Gemara raises a Safek, a Chiddush, that sugya Nedarim Daf Lamed Hey, it's an abaya de lo ifshita, right? Who exactly is the mishaleach? Who is it that the Kohen is representing? The Gemara has two possibilities, either shluchei derachmana, a Kohen is a shliach Hashem, or shluchei didan, that the Kohen represents Knesset Yisrael. And after community, the Gemara says as follows, if a person is mudra hana min ha-Kohen, I can't go ahead and benefit from the Kohen, can the Kohen perform avoda on my behalf? If it's a shliach Hashem, yes. But if it's my shliach, then the Gemara says no. And that's an abayat lifshita. When you look at the sugi in Kedushin and Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, there the Gemara says it's obvious that the Kohen is shluchei derachmana. Shluchei derachmana. After all, don't we have a principle when it comes to shlichus? That anything that you yourself cannot do, shliach lo matzi mashve. You can't go ahead and appoint a shliach. So Yisrael can't do avoda. So how can you argue that the shliach is that of Yisrael? How could that possibly be? That it's not something I can do. And therefore the Gemara obviously writes that a kohen is considered to be shluchei derachmana. The Rishon Rabbah, they're Tosus immediately. They're in Kedushin, Daf Chaf Gimel. Right, is bothered by this question. The Gemara says in Kedushin, it's clear, shluchei derachmana. Why does the Gemara Nedarim have such a safek? Tosus has two possibilities. First, Tosus says, don't be so surprised, because very often in Shas, that Ashirim b'makam acher, the Gemara will raise a question here, and the Gemara will answer it there. The Gemara doesn't always go through every deal in an exhaustive way. And don't be surprised that Nedarim, the Gemara can pose the question, in Kedushin, the Gemara gives the answer. Tosus has a second teretz, and Tosus writes the following, that yeah, the Gemara in Kedushin is clear. A Kohen is Shluchei Derachmana. The question, the Sugi Nedarim, is a Kohen also considered to be Shluchei Didan? Of course, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu commands the Kohen. But is there any element of cases of Shluchei Didan? But it's not exclusively Shluchei Didan. That's when you will apply the principle of Shliach L'Matzei Mashvei. But if it's a shliach Hashem, you could do so. So maybe one could argue that now, secondarily, it's done also on behalf of the Yisrael. And therefore, maybe that's relevant when it comes to mudra hana. Those are the two terutzim that Tosfos says. You know, if you look at the Rashba, and that's it, Kedushin Chav Gimel, the Rashba writes, look, there are a lot of different types of avoda. There's certain avoda that only a Kohen could do. But there's certain avoda mikra din that's kosher bizarre. No, shchita is kshera bizarre. Azar could do shchita. So obviously, when the Kohen is doing the mitzvahs kahuna, then you're going to assume shlichei derachmana. But regarding that avoda, the hafshata, the shchita, that azar could do, that's the question. Is there any representation of shlichus, and therefore that's relevant to mudra hana? And if you look in the Ritva, just a fourth possibility, the Ritva writes, you're right, if the Baal HaKarban is Yisrael, obviously it's Shluchei Derachmana. But let's say the Baal HaKarban is a Kohen. So the Kohen himself could do so. So maybe when another Kohen acts and performs the Avoda, there's a dual capacity. Here is Shluchei Didan, and that would indeed be the Nafkamina. But again, everyone agrees there's an element of a shluchi derachmana, Tosa says. Everyone agrees that that's true. So one no doubt can understand the trepidation of Aaron HaKohen, that here he's told to go ahead and do all of this avoda, working in the capacity of Kohen, Kohen Gadol, Shluchei de Yisrael, Shluchei de Rachmana. So Aaron HaKohen questioned whether indeed he is worthy of assuming such a role. And the answer is that Lachach Nivcharta, the Krav HaMizbeach, that of course you have to rise to the occasion. There are times, again, where a person can be humble and take a step back, but other times you're obligated to go ahead and to do so. You have to assume that particular role of Lachach Nivcharta. If you look on the Likutim of Rav Chaim Vital, right, he quotes a comment of the Arizal, a very interesting read. Know that Aaron was Bosh V'yorei L'Geshes, right? That Aaron was very, very hesitant. And Moshe Rabbeinu responded, Lachach Nivcharta. What exactly does that mean? That's why you were chosen. Not that you were chosen to do the Avodah. No, it's Aaron was so hesitant because of the Midas Anava. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu responded, Lachach Nivcharta. That's why you were chosen to do the Avodah. But because of that Midah. It's the Midas Anava that is what was critical in order to be a true Eved Hashem. We discussed this earlier about Aaron HaKohen, right? The Medrash Rabbah and Shmos and Gimel Yud Zayin of Rachav Samach Belibo, that because of that sense of the Simchas Halev, the Midas Anava of Aaron HaKohen, and not feeling in any sense disturbed that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be, right, the one who is the Adon HaNavim, and the statement of Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi that schus, that Aaron HaKohen was zochet to wear the Urim V'tumim, right, al Halev. But it's the Midas Anava that is responsible for Lachach Nivcharta. If you look in Rashi in Parshas V'yashanan, right, Rashi in Zayin, Rashi writes that that's pshat in the psukim, which describe why it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Knesset Yisrael. There the Torah says, lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim, right? It's not because that you are the most numerous nation, but rather, ki atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amim. What does that mean? You're the smallest of nations? Rashi writes, ki atem ma'at means that mematim atzmechem, that you're a nation that personifies that midas ha'anava, and therefore, l'chach nivcharta, therefore Knesset Yisrael was chosen. And Rashi explains that regarding Avram Avinu, Anochi Afra Vefer. And Rashi continues regarding Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, V'nachnuma. No, that's in Shmos and Perek Tezayin, that they turned to Knesset and said that who are we? That we are nothing. So therefore, V'nachnuma. So that Midas Anava is not only why Aaron was chosen, but that's why Knesset Yisrael was chosen. And if you look in the Maseilas Yesharim, right, in the end of Perek Yud Aleph, the Maseilas Yesharim writes, and the contrast that Korach, right, had a taina. No? Why wasn't he chosen? No? And the Pasuk describes, Uvikashtim Gam Kahuna. No? So what exactly does that mean? Maseilas Yesharim writes, that's the flip side. That what was it that caused the downfall of Korach? That was the Midas Hagaiva and not the Midas Hanava. And where do you see the Midas Hagaiva? Uvi kashtim gam kuhuna. No, that he demanded the kuhuna, right? That was a taina that he had, that the kuhuna should come to him, right? Aaron HaKohen was bosh v'yorei l'geshes. No, that he didn't feel he was worthy of kuhuna to be the shluchi d'rachmana. And the flip side of Korach, who insisted that he should be chosen to go in and to do the kuna. That insistence, as opposed to that reluctance, no, that itself is the difference between the midah of Aaron HaKohen as opposed to that of Korach v'Hadassah. When you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Deos, but the Rambam at length, in the Pirush Mishnayos and Maseches Avos, in Perek Dalid, Mishneh Dalid, right, that's where the Mishnah tells us that ma'od ma'od havi shvaruach, right, that the anava, the shiflus that a person has should be extreme, it should be extreme, right, Ma'od, ma'od. What exactly is the essence of ma'od, ma'od? Let the mission just simply say that it's appropriate, that this person should exhibit a midas anava. So the Rambam writes, no, that's the key, ma'od, ma'od. What does that mean? Ooh, so the Rambam has this whole doctrine, no? That doctrine of, ooh, the derech hamamutza, the shvil hazav, no? The Rambam writes, because typically speaking, when it comes to midas, a person should try to strike an appropriate balance, right? The Rambam writes in life, right, a person should not be an extreme in either direction, but always follow that derech emtzai, the derech hamutza, right, the sense of the shvil hazav. The Rambam describes, no, profound, that you can't aim for the shvil hazav, because if you aim for the shvil hazav, right, you're ignoring every other factor. Now, in a vacuum, you can aim for the shvil hazav. But let's assume, for example, you know, you're in an environment that tilts one way. So you can't aim for the shvil hazav, because if the environment is pushing you this way, and you're aiming for the middle, you know where you're going to end up? You're not going to be in the middle, you're going to end up over here. So you have to know, right, what the pull is, and you have to counter, and then you end up in the shvil hazav. So for example, like haroa sotel bekukulo, if you're living in a promiscuous society, say yazer atzmin ayayin, you have to create gedarim and archakos, and you have to, because if you're going to try to be, so to speak, the mid-normal, yeah, but you're ignoring everything else that's around you. So you have to first assess, what is the pull? I have a tendency to do this. Society is pulling in this direction. So it's not enough for me to strike a balance. I have to go here, and therefore, you'll do. So a person tells you, you know what, you're never serious. So don't try to be serious some of the time. You have to get this way. And the tendency and the effort is going to get you to the shul hazav. No, it's an important hashkafa that the Rambam writes. Not, it's number one is the ideal of being in the derech hamutza. Number two is how you get there. You can't strive for the ideal. Right? Unusual, no? Because striving for the ideal is ignoring every other factor in life. Now, and very few things in life are, you know, without any pull, without any pressure. No? So you have to do so. And then the Rambam, in describing this whole thesis, beautiful. Zulas mida hazu bilvad. But there's an exception. There's an exception where I don't want you to strive for the shul hazav. The Rambam writes, and that is gaiva versus anava. Gaiva versus anava. Now, when it comes to the midas anava, a person should be, right, an anav. A person should be an anav, right? And let's suspend the typical approach to, right, the shvil hazav, the derech hamutza. And that's exactly, the Rambam writes, why the Mishnah says, ma'od, ma'od. Ma'od, ma'od means an extreme. What's the chiddush of an extreme? Everything should be an extreme. No. Rarely should you engage in an extreme. No, but here, this is indeed what you should do. And the Rambam writes, v'yesh sechalum abim Moshe Rabbeinu. No, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu had every maila of being the Adon Hanavim. And yet, the Pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu as v'yish Moshe, anav ma'od. Like, you wonder, you know, like, ad kan, like that's... That's all that one could. The answer is absolutely no. That is the the hallmark of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. V'nachnuma, and therefore that itself is considered to be like lechach nivcharta. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were indeed chosen. If you look in the Arachayim, in discussing Kabbalah Satorah, it's in Shmos Perek Yates Pasuk Beis, right? The Arachayim writes that there were certain conditions, preconditions for Kabbalah Sator. We once spoke about the Midah of Achdus, no? That Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar was not just simply an observation. That it so happened that at the time of Kabbalah Sator, Bnei Yisrael unified. No. The Torah was given to Knesset Yisrael as a whole. And therefore, the unity of Knesset Yisrael was a Tanai. Was it not a precondition for Kabbalah Sator? It wasn't something that was just ancillary. It wasn't just simply a fact, but rather it was a condition of. And the Rachaim continues and writes that the same is true when it comes to the Midah of Anava. that also shiflus and anava, that is considered to be a precondition. Ki ein divrei Torah miskayim ela b'mishamash b'latzmo u'meisim atzmo b'midbar. Why do you think the Torah was given in Midbar Sinai? No, because that requires that a person is meisim atzmo k'midbar. Right, shahakol darchen alav. You know, midbar is something that, you know, people just trample. And therefore it emphasizes that is considered to be a precondition for that element of Kabbalah Satorah. It's an important chiddush that the Rav Chaim writes. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the stipler has. Right? In the Sefer Chayolam, it's in Chelak Aleph, in Perech of Zayin, where he stresses the role of the Midas Anava when it comes to Esek Bator. That a person cannot be Matzliach, if a person has a certain sense of Gaiva, that how will be able to absorb the Torah Hashem. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota, and Daf Dal Mabez, Daf Ehemad Aleph, that Gassos Ruach is Ki'ilo Ovir Avarazara. It's like you're making up a new religion, you know, because this is who Knesset Yisrael indeed are. And when you recognize that everything that you have is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore, of course, that results in a sense of a midas anava. It's not that this is mine, this is something that I've earned, this is something that I own, but rather it's a matnas elokim. So why would a person, right, act in such a way with a sense of a midas agaiva? The mashal that the stipler gives is, let's assume, for example, you know, there's an ani in Evyon. I don't know, he has to go to a chasana, whatever it is, so he borrows someone's clothing. No. But he recognizes that suit is not his. It's not his. So it would be surprising that he would, like, walk around with a sense of haughtiness in Gassos Ruach, knowing deep down that, you know, that this is his unknown for an hour. And, you know, if it's something that's mine, maybe a person should take pride. Or maybe a person would be inclined to take pride. No, but if you recognize that this is borrowed and this is not mine, so why would you result in that particular way? So Stipler writes that's true of everything in life, that all bracha is borrowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, why should that result in, right, that sense of the Midas Anava and the Midas Hagaiva? No, of course Anava, not that sense of Agave. It's an important chiddush. We once mentioned that the term even modim, right, has a dual implication, a dual reference, that the concept of hoda means giving thanks, but the concept of hoda also is, right, an admission. Hoda spaldin kemedim dami. Now that's what Rav Huttner points out. Now modim has a dual application, seemingly two different meanings, to admit and to be thankful. And the answer is, of course, there's not two different meanings, but it's literally haba hatalia. Because if a person does not admit certain sense of dependency, if a person's mindset is that kolchi votzim yadi, I don't need the graciousness of anyone else, why would a person be thankful? In order to sincerely offer hoda, the first thing a person has to do is he has to admit, I'm dependent on the goodness of others, the goodness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when I realize how dependent I am, then I can begin to give thanks. If a person thinks that he's absolutely independent and that he's self-sufficient, and kochi votzim yadi, so only thanks really rings hollow. Because if I didn't need you, so why should I thank you for whatever indeed it is? And when you look in the bracha of modim, right, there's a stunning shift, no? In the bracha of modim, we're about to begin hoda, so the hoda process is a twofold one. First, a person has to admit, you have to acknowledge, and only then can you be thankful. So both concepts of modim are used. You know, in English, we'll say the following, that I admit that, and I am thankful for, no? The difference between that and for. And what about Lashon HaKodesh? There's also a difference, no? When you speak about an act of admission, I admit that. So the prefix is she, with a shin. And if I'm thankful for, so then you use the term al. So you admit that with a shin, and you're thankful for with al. So that's exactly the progression of the bracha of modim. Modim Manach Nalach means we begin with Ahodos Baldin. And Ahodos Baldin what? She'atahu. She'atahu. What that, that's a statement of fact, no? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We admit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is responsible for everything. And only once you have the She'atah, the She', then you can continue as the Bracha Modim proceeds, and then you can say, Al Chayenu HaMesurim Yidecha. Al Nishmaseh HaKadosh Lach. That's the four. We admit that, She'atahu, and then Al Chayenu. Then we're thankful for, right? That transition in the Bracha of Modim, it is something which is critical because it encompasses, right, both elements of that of that Hodah. That's what I had mentioned about that juxtaposition of Tanis Esther and Purim, no? That Rambam at the very beginning of Yad HaChazaka, that it's not two independent experiences, but the relationship of Tanis Esther and Purim. Because if Purim is supposed to be, right, a form of a Hodah al Hanes, so the first thing that you have to establish is that you were in need, that you were vulnerable, that you couldn't have survived on your own. So that's the juxtaposition of the Tanis Esther and Purim. And therefore the need that they have to be back-to-back. That difference between the element of Hodah in an act of admission, Tanis Esther, now, and then the celebration of the Nes that follows. Now that's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam writes that the takeaway of Purim is that Kimi Gai Godo, B'chol Kareinu Olav, that Knesset Yisrael can be in need, your back is against the wall, and you're in dire straits, and all of a sudden everything flips. No, V'nafochu, no? You reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you experience a sense of Yeshua. And that's Poshim Shad, the Gemara Megillah and Da'apei Zemnela, where the Gemara says that it's obvious to the point that you don't even need a pasuk. That if you can't read the Megillah on Yadalit, you can read it on Yud Gimel. I need a pasuk to say I can read it on Yud Aleph. I need a pasuk to say I can read the Megillah on Yud Beis. But why would you think you can read the Megillah on Yud Aleph Yud Beis? So Bizmanehem is Marbi Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. But the Gemara says Yud Gimel Eino Tzrich Hakra. You don't need a pasuk for that. Why is that true? So Rabbi Natan writes, because that's Tainus Esther. And it's obvious that if you can't lay the Megillah on your Dalet, you can lay the Megillah on your Gimel. Why is that so obvious? Why is that? Poshim Shat, that's the answer. Because this is not an independent experience of Tainus Esther and Purim B'shtei Neshimos, but Mamish B'Neshim Achas, as the Rambam explains. And therefore, it's obvious that if the Psukim are going to allude to other candidates for Kriyas HaMegillah, self-evident that Yud Gimel would be something which is an absolute option. So that's an important beer. The Midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Avanav Mikol Adam, the Midah Sa'anav of Aaron HaKohen, that fancy beer of the Rizal, Lachach Nivcharta, does not mean you were chosen to do the Avodah, meaning that was Moshe Rabbeinu saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you the reason that you were chosen. Not that this is your job description, so you have to do your job. The reason that you were chosen in order to be the Shluch Yad Rahman is because you were Bo Shviyare Lageshes. That's an important concern. You know, those two Pshatim, Lachach Nivcharta, that's why you were chosen. So Poshe Pshat is you were chosen means sometimes you have to embrace, right, to meet a Saromus, no? And here, Lachach Nisarta means because the Midas Hanava, that sometimes you have to. So, you know, that's a significant challenge in life. Both are necessary. Sometimes you have to be very assertive. Sometimes you have to take a step back. And knowing when, that sometimes can be a little bit tricky. I've often mentioned the Gemara in Tainus and Dav Zayin. That the Gemara says that a person should adopt the Midas HaMayim, no? Mayim is always holech l'machom not namuch, no? Water always seeks lowland, no? You have a leak in your roof, but it's always, to find out where that leak comes from, that's always very hard, no? You find the water here, but always holech l'machom namuch. The Gemara says that's the Midas HaNav, and an Eish is a shalheves, which is olam aleha. There's a midas ha'esh, there's a midas ha'mayim. And you have to know when to incorporate both. Oh, in the Medrash Rabbah, in the very beginning of Bamidbar, the Torah was given ba'esh u'v'mayim, ba'esh u'v'mayim. It means that sometimes in the Torah Hashem, a person has to be very proactive, very assertive, and sometimes a person has to be very deferential. Right, a person has to exhibit the midas anava, and you know, sometimes the mission statement is anochi yafa veifer. You know what that Rashi quoted, Avraham Avinu, I'm nothing. And sometimes the mission in Sanhedrin, bishvili nivrola. Sometimes you have to like rise to the occasion and realize that, you know, that's why you're here, right? Leis hazos, he got the malchus that you have to, you can't turn back. And knowing what and when, that's not always so simple. Not always so simple. I once mentioned, you know, that the chait of Adas Korach and the chait Hamaraglim are unbelievable indicators. No? Unbelievable indicators. No. So what exactly was the chait Hamaraglim? The chait Hamaraglim. Kodesh Baruch Hu told us, no? V'horashtim as Eretz Yishavtim. Eretz Yisrael is yours. No? Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, L'zaracha nasati as Eretz Azos. Right? You know, in the past I mentioned that Yerushalmi, Perek Beis Ochala, it doesn't say L'zaracha etein, L'zaracha nasati. No, L'zaracha nasati, L'loshen Avar. No? Yerushalmi says two unbelievable words. Kfar nasati. Kfar nasati. Eretz Yisrael is already yours. It's already yours. That's the Gemara Baba Basra, Kuf Yotes. Eretz Yisrael mochzekesi. Mochzekesi. You're a mochzak in Eretz Yisrael. You're a mochzak in Eretz Yisrael. That's Sugya Baba Basra, Kuf Yotes. Fascinating, no? But no Slavchad came forward. And Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure. Unsure of exactly what? What was Moshe Rabbeinu unsure of, no? There were no other Yerushim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure whether they should get. They should get. Of course they should get. And that wasn't the suffix of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says the suffix of Moshe was the following, that Slavchad was a Bechor. And Slavchad is entitled to Pishnaim. But when it comes to Pishnaim, the Torah tells us, what does a Bechor get Pishnaim of? Kol asher yimatzela. Whatever you own, it has to be a concrete asset, as opposed to simply just right, a debt, something which is promised to you. If a person promises a father a certain sum of money, and then the father dies, the bechor does not get pishnayim. That's not called kol asher yimatzela. We discussed that earlier, no? When we talked about shibudim, no? Let's say a father is a malvin, he has a shibud nechasim, and the father dies, can the Bechor get Pishnaim of the Shibud Nechasim? Why? It's only Chor Shei Matzilo. No, the answer is that Ritva, Kedushin Yud Gimel. No, because a Shibud. A Shibud is a Kinyan. It's a Kinyan Nechatzayim. Right? I own the Nichse Halo Vel Gabe Gviya. So maybe that's called Chor Shei Matzilo. That's like pretty heavy, no? So that's what the Gemara says was the suffix of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, Bnei Slavchad would get. But are they entitled to Pishnaim? Are they entitled to Pishnaim? Because Pishnaim is only Kol Asher Yimatzelo, and Eretz Yisrael was not yet divided. We didn't enter Eretz Yisrael yet. So you know what the Gemara answer is? Unbelievable. Eretz Yisrael Muchzekesi. Muchzekesi. And therefore, Bnei Slavchad got the Pishnaim that Slavchad would have gotten of the Nichsei Chefer. Yeah, that means, Lazarachon Asati. Lazarachon Asati. So it's considered to be ours. So Eretz Yisrael is already considered to be ours. Also, but look, you know what? You have to go there. You have to Yerusha, the Yeshiva. You have to battle. You have to conquer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us already, you know, this is going to be the outcome. This is going to be the outcome. So what happened? So Meraglim were sent. The Ramban points out, sending spies itself is not a chait, because Hishtadlos has to be responsible. No? Just because Kadosh Baruch Hu says wage war, it doesn't mean you just wage war. It means you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. V'haraya, the Ramban writes, if the Raglim per se were the chait, so how in the world would Moshe Rabbeinu be justified in sending Raglim? Forget about the response. But imkain Moshe Rabbeinu chata b'davar? No. And the Ramban writes, you look later in Chumash, spies were again sent. They came to the city Azer, and Yeshua sent spies again. No. So if the take with the chait Raglim is no spies, no, that can't be. Ramban writes, the chait was the response. The purpose of the spies, the Meraglim, was how, not if. No? Not if we're capable of conquering Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't up for grabs. The Shiluach HaMeraglim was the purpose of how we're going to do so. How we're going to do so. That's like an important hashkaf. You know? That's probably a mistake that people most commonly make. They confuse the how and the if. No? It's not a question of if you're going to know Kol HaTorah Kula. The Ran writes in the Dram Dav Ches, you have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. No? That's a question of how you're going to know Kol HaTorah Kula, right? How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? No? It's not a question whether Nishbati V'Kayema, right? I'm going to make a neder, a shvut, to learn this parak. Of course you have to learn this parak. The question is, how are you going to learn this parak? No? The question is not if you're going to learn the parak. No, that's not up for grabs. You have to know what the right question is. It's probably the most important lesson in life is to know what the kash is. No? Then you can proceed to give a good teretz. No? So the question was not if Eretz Yisrael, if Eretz Yisrael, Nazarach HaNasati. The question is, how are we going to do this? Right? How is this exactly going to happen? And when the Rabbi came back and said, we're not going to do it, Ephes, it was clear they misunderstood the whole mission statement. So they came back and they said, there's no way in the world we can conquer Eretz Yisrael. And what was their response? Vani b'neo kechagavim. You know why? Because we're like nothing. No, we're like lowly grasshoppers. No, we're incapable. We're incapable. So there's no way we can conquer Eretz Yisrael. It's beyond our capacity. Beyond our capacity. So that's the Parsha Samaragla. That's Parsha Shlach, right? And then you get to Parsha Korach. No, all of a sudden Adas Korach comes forward to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen. And what's their response? Why are they challenging Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen all of a sudden? No? Because Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kadoshim Uvesocha Mashem. So that's like unbelievable, no? You know, in Parsha Shlach it was Chagavim. In Parsha Korach it's Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kadoshim. In terms of the model, in Parshas Korach was the Midas Ha'ish, right? And in Parshas Shlach it was the Midas Hamayim. No, like nothing, no? Incapable of. Right? The Midas Ashiflus and Anave as opposed to the Midah of Gvur and Romamus. No? So you know what the tragic chait of the Meraglim and As Korach was? The misapplication of that balance. When it came to fulfilling the Dvar Hashem, Behorashtim Etzaras V'yishavtem Bah, fulfilling the Dvar Hashem, what was the answer? We're incapable. And when it came to challenging the Dvar Hashem, Moshe Ben Aaron, all of a sudden, we're empowered. No? Kol Eda Kulum Kadoshim Esochem Hashem. That was the Chataim. The right answer was the opposite. No? If you're in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, you know what the response should be? V'ani b'neo kechagam. No, that, you know, or we're nothing. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that v'horashtim ezaras v'yishavtim bo, l'zarach ha'nasati ezaras ezos, you know what the response is? Kol eido kulum kadoshim v'sochem Hashem. That what, we can't do this. What do you mean we can't do this? No. Kol eido kulum kadoshim v'sochem Hashem. That I'll tell you is the takeaway of the Chait Hamarag and the Chait Adas Korach. That balance of the Gvur and Romamus and Shiflus and Anava. And that maybe is the two pshatim in terms of the response of Moshe Rabbeinu of that L'chach Nivcharta. L'chach Nivcharta. On the one hand, if the Torah recognizes that you are Shluchei Derachmana, that's the role that you have to assume. And on the other hand, that L'chach Necharta, because that has to also balance a sense of appropriate Midas Hanava. And that's why that Aaron HaKohen was indeed chosen in order to do so. It's an important Musar Haska. But maybe the Tu Pshatim, that Chiddush of the Arizal, L'chach Necharta, does not mean that that's why you do the Avodah, but it means that's why you are not going. We're chosen to be the one to do so because of the hesitancy, because of that midas anava. When you look in Parsha Shmini, and the Torah mentions the karbanos that are brought, so unusual. Here the Torah tells us to take an egel ben bakar lechatos, and the seir izim. Lachatos. Unusual that the miluim, the chinuch hamishkan, is al yedei korban chatos, and the choice of the egel in the seir as a korban chatos. You know, if one were asked, like, what korban would you think should be used? You know, the Mishnah in Shulas and Daf Yadala tells us, let's assume we want to expand the boundary of the ear, Yerushalayim, the Azara. So the Mishnah says that Ein Mosif and Aleir Va'Azaros Ela B'Shtei Todos. The carbon is a carbon toda. A carbon toda, no? Yeah, you want to discuss of expanding, no? The perimeter of the Mikdash Hashem. So toda. And here's surprising that Chatos. Why is it that the Chatos is offered? So the Ramban. Here in Shmini, the beginning of Perek Tes, that quotes the Torah's Kohanim. Yesh biyadeichem b'tchila, v'yesh biyadeichem basov. That Knesset Yisrael were guilty. They were guilty on two counts. There was an initial chait, and there was a subsequent chait. And therefore, kapara was necessary. Yesh biyadeichem betchilo, the Torah's Kohanim says, vayishchetu se'ir izim, u'mechiras yosef, se'ir izim. And v'yesh biyadeichem basov, osu lohem ega masecha, the chet ha'egel. So yavo se'ir, v'yechaper ha'maisa se'ir. So the se'ir is brought here to initiate as a kapara for mechiras yosef, and v'yagol evo v'yechapra maseiga. Wow. So what exactly is the meaning of? The cheta ego. What exactly was the cheta ego? After all, the Medrash Tanchuma points out that the Mishkan was a response to the cheta ego. The Yalkut writes, now that the reason that Zahav is so prominent in Mishkan is that the Zahav should be a kapara for the Egel HaZahav. So what exactly was that chait? The Ramban describes at length, the Kuzari in Perek Tzadi Zayin, that Knesset Yisrael expressed maybe even a legitimate need, that something tangible, something concrete is necessary in order to channel one's Avodah Hashem. You know, we have so many, like, mitzvos maisiyos, no? That our Avodah Hashem is tangible, it's manifest, it's concrete. It's not just like an ideology, a theology, a philosophy. So something was necessary. Or the Ramban that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kishliach. Knesset Yisrael thought Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to return. So something was necessary as an intermediary, something tangible. And maybe in a certain sense that That was a legitimate taina. That's where Bnei Yisrael were at that particular time, that was necessary. But the takeaway is clear, that even if the motive could be justified, but Avodas Hashem is predicated not on just sincerity, but literally, Kasher Tziv Hashem. Kasher Tziv Hashem. Tzivui is necessary. Tzivui is necessary. And the Mishkan played now that role. The Mishkan was something very concrete, very tangible. Every detail, the choreographed avoda. But if one will ask you, what exactly is the difference between the Chet HaEgel and the Mishkan? Isn't it obvious, no? Kasher, Tziv Hashem. The Beis Halevi points out, and then the Chumash Shmos, you know how many times the Torah repeats Kasher, Tziv Hashem when it comes to Mishkan? Time and time and time and time again. No. The Yerushalmi writes, now that in Parshas Pekudei alone, Kasher Tziv Hashem is 18 times. And the Yerushalmi writes, that's the source of the Irches Brachos, or Shmon Esrei. Yerushalmi writes, well, Perek Dalda Brachos. Because tefillah has to have a tzura, a tzivui. It's not that like anything goes. A person can sincerely be motivated in order to engage in a avodah shebelev, but the structure, the framework, there has to be an absolute tzivui. And that is the connection. If the Chet HaEgel was that it was like unbridled but without a tzivui, so the kapara was the Mishkan, that everything was alpi tzivui Hashem, alpi tzivui Hashem. The Meshech Chachma writes in Shmos Lamed Beis that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Bnei Yisrael were serving the Egel Azav, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos, right? Not out of a sense of just anger, but in order to demonstrate, Meshech Chachma writes, like a mida keneged mida, that without the tzivui Hashem, right, that even the luchos don't have kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the luchos down, so instead of serving the Egel, we'll serve the luchos. The answer is that no. And the Meshech Chachma writes, that's why the architect of the Mishkan was Bezalel. And the Pasuk always mentions Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, because Chur was the one who was Moser Nefesh, and gave up his life to try to prevent the Chet HaEgel. So that's something which is critical. So it's not surprising then that if that really is the Kapara, the Tikkun 4, so you understand very well then that the Karban, the Egel Achatas, is what is brought at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. So Mishkan represents, no doubt, that Kasher Tziv Hashem. But Mishkan also has another representation that we just mentioned, no? That Or HaChaim, the Ramban, the very beginning of Parshas Truma. The purpose of the Mishkan is to replicate Ma'amad Har Sinai. So, Hashras HaShechina, but also as a precondition, the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. That Beichan Sham Yisrael. And therefore, the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael, and that element of Hashras HaShechina Avoda, that's what the Mishkan is supposed to represent. And if that means that the Mishkan was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, so another dimension, and that was the Sinas Chinam, the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. Now that's the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud. So if the Mishkan is supposed to represent the unity of, so that is Keneged, the Mechiras Yosef. And so many parallels. We mentioned that in the Kinas and Tisha B'Av. You know, the Asar Rogei Malchus of Churban, Keneged, the Asar Achi Yosef, like the relationship between. So therefore, if this is what the Mishkan is supposed to represent, the Tzivui Hashem, the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael, so that's why the Pasuk tells us here that it's necessary to bring Korban Chatos. And the Korban Chatos is a Seir L'Chatos and an Egel L'Chatos. The Seir is Keneged Mechiras Yosef, and the Egel is Keneged the Chet of Egel HaZahav. Yesh B'Yadeichem B'Tchila, and V'yesh V'Yadeichem L'Basav. Those elements. All of a sudden, tragically, right? At this time of the Miluim, all of a sudden, the Chet of Nadav Naviu, And the immediate response, no? The immediate response. You know, why, what was the Chet of Nadav Naviu? Why exactly was it necessary to see to it that response was so immediate? So why exactly was that true? Somehow the chait of Nadav Naviu was not just simply like a secondary and ancillary chait, but somehow the chait of Nadaviu would have undermined the entire purpose of the Mishkan, and therefore was necessary immediately in an unambiguous way to respond to. So on one level it seems very clear. Now, what was the chait of Nadav Naviu? Here you have the Kamasa Mishkan, which is the kapara for the Chet HaEgel, because the Chet HaEgel mentions unsanctioned, unlicensed avoda, and the yesod of the Mishkan is Kasha Tziva Hashem. And all of a sudden, at that time, Vayikruv Lifnei Hashem, Eish Zara, all of a sudden, on their own, they chose to do the avoda in this fashion. And the pasuk emphasizes now that Eish Zara Asher Lo Tzivo Osam. The pasuk says so, no? Asher Lo Tzivo Osam. This was an Eish Zara, this was a foreign avoda without any license, without any tzivui. This, I would tell you, was a fallback to, right, the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, that attempt of offering an Eish Zara without a tzivui at the time of Hashkama Shemishkan, it wasn't just like inappropriate, but it stood to undermine the entire message, the kapara of the Mishkan for the Chet HaEgel. And maybe a further point. You know, let's assume Nadav and Avihu had a good havamina, you know? Maybe Hakamas HaMishkan is a time that this is what's appropriate to do. To go above and beyond the Tzivui Hashem. To be able to show initiative, amida of hisnadvus l'shem shamayim, beyond that which Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do. But, you know, Nadav and Avihu, you know, had good people to ask, no? Like they had this idea. So what exactly do you do when you have such an idea? So you know what the answer is? You consult. No, Moshe Rabbeinu is there. Like Aaron HaKohen is there. Now, like, you want to know whether this is appropriate avoda. You know, like, it's not as though you can't get the correct answer. No? So that's the Gemara's name of Samach Gimel. That Hora halacha b'fnei rabo. They weren't interested in asking. Good, they had a havamina. This is what you should do. So the answer is, so consult. Ask. And Moshe Rabbeinu is there. So the Gemara writes so dramatically, they bedafka did not ask. Because their mindset was, that's the Gemara, Erevin Samagimel, Mosai Yomusu Shnei Hazakeinu halacha. That, you know what, why should we ask? You know, they're dated, no? Their time has come. It's time for a revolution, right? A new leadership of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron are going. It's not that inadvertently they didn't ask, but deliberately they didn't do so. Deliberately they didn't do so. Whoa. So I would just argue then as follows, that this was a fallback then to the sinas chinam of the chet of Mechiras Yosef. If a precondition of Mishkan is the achdus of all of Knesset Yisrael, similar to Mamad Har Sinai, and therefore the carbon is offered as a kapara for the lack of, and this all of a sudden becomes the forum of, you know, Masay Musa Shnei Azakenim Alolam. So we're offering a carbon chatos of a seir, carbon chatos of an egel, in order to serve as a kapara for Egel Azav and Mechiras Yosef, and they go ahead and offer an Eish Zara Shel Tzivo Sam Bifnei Moshe V'Aaron, right, pushing the envelope that Masi Amusa Shnei Azakenim Alalo. That would exactly would have underlined both aspects of what the Mishkan of Beis Hamikdash is supposed to represent. And therefore, right, the onesh was something that was so dire, so immediate, so unambiguous, because that's what the Mishkan has to represent, right? The priority of the entirety of Knesset Yisrael, but in a harmonious fashion, and the need always for a Tzivui Hashem when it comes to Avodah. You know, one of the yesodos of Avodah, and especially the yesodos of Tefillah, right, is that point. No. Kasha Tziva Hashem. The Gemara Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel, one of many, many, many examples. No. The Gemara describes, Ehud Denochis Kam Rabbi Chanina. Ashliach Tzibur got up to Davin, the presence of Rabbi Chanina. And he starts the Shmon Esrei, Kel, Godol, Gibor, Venora. And he starts going on and on and on. Adir, Azuz, Yira, Chazak, you know, all the different ways of explaining, right, describing Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when he finished Shmon Esrei, so like, you know, Rabbi Chanina screamed, you know? He probably thought he would get a good pat on the back, you know, for the Chazanas, you know? So the answer was that no, Siyamtim Lekula Shvacha Demarei. That's all you can say. That's all you can say. So the Gemara continues that, what do you mean? Im lav deru Moshe Rabbeinu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, said these words, Kel Godol Gibor Venora. And if not for the fact that Anshei Knesset Hagadol were Misakin Tefillah, right, we would not be able to say anything. What, on our own, we're going to what? Describe Kadosh Baruch Hu? Describe Kadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Chanina said, a mashal melech basav adam, that this melech has elef alfei dinrei zav. This melech has enormous wealth, the largest collection of gold, and vaymakalsin osol b'shal keser. And I say to him, I like your silver. I like your silver. Now the Gemara says, v'lo gnai hulo. That's degrading, that's debasing. Not to fall short. And the Ritzvan, that's Sugim Rachas, Taflam and Gimel, quotes the Rabbah b'mer nevuchim. The Rabbah b'mer nevuchim is in Chelek Aleph in Perek Nun Tes, where the Rambam writes, the difference between gold and silver is not a difference in kamos, but it's a difference in echos. It's not just simply that, you know, it's worth a little bit more. No, that's not that. It's a different mean. Qualitatively, it's different. So that's what Rechina was stressing, the Rambam writes. Right? Any praise you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, by essence, falls short. Right? We describe Yud Gimel Midos. And the Rambam has a day of negative attributes, no? Rav Yosef Albo, no? These are attributes of action, but not of essence. Like, how can you possibly describe? How can you possibly describe? Important chiddush. No? The Ritva has a comment on that Gemara, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, important chiddush though. The Ritva writes that, you know, to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inappropriate. To describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inappropriate. What can you do? L'saper nifla osav, nisav, gurosav. You can describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. But you can't describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. No. So describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that you need makoros. You need makoros. If the Torah Hashem describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kel Godol Gibor Venora, okay, that we can do. So one could describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. There, the Ritva writes a stunning phrase, V'chol amosiv reizem meshubach. Familiar ring, no? And maybe that's exactly pshat in the Haggadah of Pesach, no? That realize that, you can be marabilis saper b'tzias Mitzrayim in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, right? The nisim, the niflos. But be careful not to cross the line and start describing, right, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, you know? In other words, many, many rayas, back and forth, anything such as that requires a matir, requires license, requires precedent, requires kisvei hakodesh. You know, when the Gemara stresses Megodaf Yud Zayin that Shmon Esrei was authored by the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, so the Gemara adds the following phrase: you know who Anshei Knesset Hagdola were? Meya ve'esrim zakenim, and uvahem kama neviim. No, Shmon Esrei was Ruach HaKodesh. Shmon Esrei was Nevuah. You're going to get up and just kind of, sing your own melody. You know, so all of this, the Kasher Tziva Hashem, when it comes to those elements of all Avoda, and especially when it comes to Tefillah of Avoda Shebelim. Okay. All right, Smirz Hashem, we're off on Sunday. We continue Monday. Okay, so Rosh Hashem, we'll continue. We'll finish up with Makif and Ikav. Okay, and Lav Sheish Ramais, Lav Sheim Bamais, and then we'll go on. Okay.